Morning, friends.
Good morning.
Welcome to Center on this graduate Sunday morning. If everyone would get a hymnal and stand with us and turn to page 608 as we stand and sing, Guide Me, O Great Jehovah, page 608. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for another chance you've given us to come here and fellowship with one another and worship you. Lord, I pray that the things that would be said and done in this service today would be pleasing to you and for the furtherment of your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we all pray. Amen. If everyone would look at your bulletins and look at the announcements for today and for this coming week. I know monthly meeting is tomorrow night here at 7 o'clock. It's been moved from tonight. And are there others?
Yesterday down at Holly Ridge Golf Course, we had the second annual Quaker Lake golf tournament. And by God's grace, we were able to play yesterday after worrying all week about the weather. The major storm passed within a mile or two of the course, and we were able to play. Had great participation. I think everyone showed up, and we'd like to thank everyone who came out to play and who did sponsorships. Quaker Men provided breakfast, and all the folks who provided door prizes. I probably left something out, but thanks to y'all for your support and your participation. And I don't think the final tally's in, but it will be in excess of $15,000 raised. Thank you.
Hey, Keith, everybody, thank you for signing up for the blood drive on June 9th. If you have any questions about your appointment time, please see Tommy. I think he's been getting appointment time set and has communicated with all you fabulous people that have signed up. You'll also be getting reminders about that time closer to June 9th, so just be sure you have that in mind. And also, I hope you saw the announcement about Bible school. It's going to be August 3rd through 5th this year. It's going to be a little different. It's just going to be a Friday night, Saturday, and then Sunday worship. And I heard a rumor that we might be able to go to Hagenstone Pool that evening as our closeout with Bible school on that Sunday. I will be trying to get our youth to go up to Deering Children's Church and practice the Bible school songs throughout the summer. So I will be trying to do that next Sunday. So if you know that your kids or grandkids or neighbor's kids can attend Bible school on those dates, please try to bring them to church next Sunday, and we'll be starting to learn our Bible school songs.
Keith Baker Men will not meet next Sunday morning, but we will meet the first Sunday morning in June.
Senior Day is this Thursday, and I'd love to see you all there. And if you can help, please come down front and see you today.
Are there any other announcements?
Before we have our tithes and offerings, would you join me in welcoming our 2018 graduates? Thank you, Deborah, and congratulations to our graduates. We look forward to recognizing them just a little bit later in the service. One other by way of announcement, there will be no children's message this morning, and since we're having our graduate recognition, so no children's moment. And what we will do is we will, following the recognition of graduates, we will dismiss children for We Friends and Children's Church at that time. If our ushers will come forward, we will receive our morning offerings. I threw them off. I gave them a little time to take a break, and they...
You only have to take a snake out. He won't come in. Oh,
okay. Don't tell people that. We might get people leaving. Let's bow our heads, prayer together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day and opportunity to be here today to worship and to celebrate with our graduates. We thank you for their dedication and their hard work, and we are mindful of all that can be accomplished through your love and grace when we set a goal and accomplish a task. Lord, we just are thankful for their presence with us here today and all they mean to Center Friends Meeting. Lord, we thank you for the offerings we are about to receive, for all your blessings and gifts to us. May you use these offerings for your glory and for your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Today we honor our 2018 graduates. Graduation is a celebration, a time of looking back on lessons learned, adventures shared, bright moments filled with special meaning, a farewell, a time to say goodbye to old friends, to good times you've known, a time for packing away memories, treasures for tomorrow, and a beginning, a time for looking forward, a time to set new goals, to dream new dreams, to try your wings, and to see what lies beyond. We are so very proud of each of you and look forward to seeing what life has for you. Please take a stand as I call your name to be honored and to receive a token of love from all of us here at Center Friends Meeting. Daniel Allen Doss, North Carolina A&T State University. Daniel decided in 2014, after working in landscaping, to pursue a degree in mechanical engineering at North Carolina A&T State University. He interned for 2 summers at Hayward Industries, a manufacturer of pool cleaning equipment. He will start working there May 24th. For his senior project, he was on a team that built and raced Baja buggies. They placed 19 out of 100 in competitions recently in Kentucky. He is currently competing today in Kansas. In April of 2014, Daniel met Heather Johnson, and they plan to be married in September. Congratulations to Daniel. Becky will get you his gift. You want to? Tell him we missed him. Cody Fields, Southeast Guilford High. Cody went to Southeast Middle School previously and is now going to attend East Carolina University in the fall. He is going to study pre-med to get on track to be a surgeon. He has been an honor roll all 4 years of high school and was inducted into the National Technical Honor Society. He became CNA certified while in high school and is now working at Camden Health and Rehab. Congratulations, Cody. Kaylee Perdue, Guilford Technical Community College. Okay, are we good? Kaylee graduated from Guilford Technical Community College on May 10, 2018, with a degree in dental assisting. She completes her internship at the end of the summer and then will be ready to pursue her dream of becoming a dental assistant. Kaylee enjoys spending time with friends and family at the lake, and she also enjoys photography. Kaylee wanted to thank each of you for your encouragement as she completed her degree. She is excited to see what the future holds. Congratulations, Kaylee. David Robinette, Jr. David has worked for the Greensboro Parks and Recreation. He has coached high school lacrosse over the years, and he is graduating from Gardner-Webb University with a master's in accounting. Congratulations, David. Tommy Sluder, Barclays College. Tommy Sluder graduated on May 6, 2018 with a Master's of Arts degree in Pastoral Ministry from Barclay College. Tommy was born and raised in Pleasant Garden, graduated from Southeast Guilford High School, and went on to become a law enforcement officer in Guilford County, and has continued his career for the last 17 years. He previously earned an associate's degree in criminal justice from Guilford Technical Community College and a bachelor's of science in criminal justice from Liberty University. Tommy is currently a bivocational pastor serving as the associate pastor here at Center Friends. Tommy's future plans are to be determined by God, and he will continue to serve diligently here at Center Friends, fulfilling the challenge of making disciples through the spreading of love of Christ. Congratulations, Tommy. I would just like to close with a little prayer for our graduates, so if we can bow our heads. Dear Lord, today we bring these young graduates before you, asking you to keep your hand of protection upon them. Please guide their steps in the days ahead as they embark on these new journeys before them. Grant them wisdom to make wise decisions according to your will. May the road before them be paved with joyous opportunity that brings honor and glory to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Congratulations. Thank you.
This time the choir can come back. And our We Friends and Children's Church will be dismissed. We need to make sure the groups don't get mixed up and the kids end up here singing and the adults down in the children's church. Although, maybe we'll try that one Sunday. Certainly, congratulations to our graduates and a big thanks to our Christian Ed Committee for all they've done as well. At this time, we'll enter into a time of prayer for one another. Are there concerns you would like to share this morning?
Jerry, I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers and their cards and well wishes for Jane Cox. She passed away yesterday at 5:30. She put up a good fight. She'd been in the hospital since May 11th. I thought about not coming today. And God told me that I needed to come today to be with my family and friends and help me. I guess growing in my Christian education, it hadn't set in yet, but we love Jane like a sister. I do ask for prayers and for the family. And on a lighter note, you're probably all wondering why this red rose is up on the podium. This is Bonnie's first gift. Fruit from to God. We're supposed to bring our first fruits to God. I planted this rose, her first rose, on Good Friday. I'd like for you to take this rose home and give it to Leanne Terry. Yep, I've been waiting a long time. Put it in the ground with 50 pounds of cavernier and probably 25 of peat moss. And Mary said, Jay, you'll probably burn this thing up. I'm like, no. And the other one, actually, this one is closer to the main and was much smaller. The other one has grown 24 inches. But anyway, so much for that.
Thank you.
Love y'all, and I just had to be here.
We're glad you're here.
Here with joy.
Okay.
Our son Jason and his wife Stephanie welcomed a baby girl on Thursday, Sinclair, and she joins her 15-year-old brother Maddox and sister Emerson, who's 12. So they're going to have a full agenda on their plate.
Well, Autumn came in, wasn't it, third in the county in Girls on the Run last week.
Who did?
Autumn did. She came in third.
Okay.
Yes, I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers and their cards. Just to let you know, I'm going fishing Thursday. Thank you very much.
That's a good sign. If you're in fishing health, that's a good sign. Anyone else? Yes.
Thank you. I met my friend goes to workshop with me. She's not happy where she lives at. I want her to pray to work out for the best for her.
Okay, what's her name?
I don't know her name.
Okay. We'll be in prayer for her. Let's get a little bit of prayer together. Loving and gracious God, we are grateful for the opportunity to be here today. We're all grateful that we, our health is such and that you afforded us the opportunity to be here today, to gather together and to worship and to celebrate and to congratulate these graduates. Certainly our prayers are for them as they embark upon new journeys, as they discover what you have for each of them in their careers and in their lives and their relationships. May you continue to bless and strengthen each one of these graduates that we recognize this morning. We remember the family of Jane Cox, and we just pray for Alexis and the entire family, as you just pray that you would give them strength and comfort in their time of grief. We know that her cancer progressed very quickly, and I'm sure the family and friends and are having a difficult time processing everything, but we are thankful that you are present there in the midst of that situation. Lord, we just pray your strength for Jay and Bonnie and Alexis and the entire family, that you would give them the strength that they need in this difficult time. We are mindful of this friend that was mentioned this morning. Just pray your peace and your strength and your encouragement to this friend. Lord, we are also this morning filled with joy and excitement with the birth of Sinclair, and just are grateful for that arrival and for and just pray your continued blessings upon that family. Thankful for Denny and Barbara and their family, and celebrate with them. Lord, we remember Autumn and just are thankful for her success. And we are grateful and thankful for Tommy Sluter Sr.'s recovery and that he's able to be back doing the things that he loves to do. Lord, we are mindful each and every day that you give us the strength, that you give us the motivation, that you give us the opportunity to praise you and to celebrate and to spend our lives in things that are important and meaningful. So I just pray that you would continue to give us those days that allow us to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'm actually going to take that off. I couldn't have long hair. It's good to see everyone here this morning to celebrate a wonderful time and in folks' lives as they transition from one life event to another, as scary as it can be. But we're going to talk about that this morning. So I was told a few days ago that this was actually one of the few acceptable times that a minister could be robed in a Quaker meeting. So I'm going to take advantage of it. Graduation is an interesting event. It's almost kind of funny in a way. Because we're getting together and we're celebrating academic achievement. And I say it's funny in a way because of all the pain and all the aggravation and all the yelling and screaming and tears and sometimes blood and other things that go through it. And then we get to this point and it's in high school, it's air horns and cowbells and beach balls and celebration because, well, we've survived. It's a time where people like us gather together. We get dressed up in hot gowns. Some with hoods like this one, some with mortarboards like Kaylee's. It's a recognition. It's a very iconic thing. You walk around, and then you come down the center aisle, and they play the beautiful song, and then you listen to someone speak that sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah-wah, wah-wah, wah-wah. And they talk for 27 minutes, and then they got 1,000 kids that need to cross the stage and get their diploma. But what are the type of graduations that we go through, that we've experienced? And so I was writing this, and I started coming up with some graduations that we may have experienced in our lives, that we've been to or we've seen. So as you listen to the list, pick up on the change as time progresses. There's kindergarten graduation. Parents say, oh, my baby's growing up. Growing up way too fast. Time, please slow down. Emotions are high because there's so much unknown ahead, but thank God they made friends who will be with them through it all, and they learned how to color inside the lines. And the kids, they're just looking for the playground. Fifth grade graduation for some. Parents, emotions are still all over the place because they have to mix with people from other schools next year. It's those other elementary schools. Time needs to slow down. They're growing up too fast. Kids are going from the big shots to the newbies in middle school. Oh, God. Then there's eighth grade. Parents say, thank God we survived middle school. Kids say, we know everything and our parents are dumb. High school graduation. Parents say, we survived high school without disowning our children. But they're growing up so fast, I wish time would slow down. Kids say, we survived high school, we still know everything, and our parents are still dumb. There's the bachelor's graduation, the undergrad in college. Parents say they survived college in one piece and are going to be okay. Time, slow down. They're growing up too fast. Kids admit, we really don't know anything. Wait, what's a 401k? Graduate school. Parents say, we are so proud of what you've turned into. Time, slow down. You're growing up too fast. We're getting too old. And we have no idea what your degree is. Kids say, my parents were right all along. What a transformation since kindergarten. Today's not a commencement exercise in a school. I'm not hopefully going to sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. I'm not your guest speaker. I don't have a Dr. Seuss reference about the place you'll go or the brains in your head. Today is about all of us here this morning, taking what God is transforming us into and becoming the change in the world around us. Paul is our commencement speaker. The Apostle Paul will be our speaker today. And he's speaking through Romans 12. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans 12. We're going to cover the entire chapter. It's not real long. And Paul writes to the church in Rome, Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace God, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, this isn't my first time speaking from the book of Romans. And just in the past, I think it's important to understand the original audience, the original scene, if you will. This was a Christian letter to the Church of Rome. It's an interesting letter in Paul's journey. He had a couple of reasons for addressing this particular church. Paul had a desire to evangelize in Spain, but fearing that he couldn't get there, he sent it to one of the strongest churches he knew in hopes that they would do his work for him while he couldn't make it. He needed a local church to be close in Spain, and what church better than that in Rome? It was a very important city at the time. It was the capital, and what an awesome victory to win Rome to Christ. This was Paul's sermon if he was to ever make it to Rome. Much like sending graduates into the world, Paul wanted to inspire believers into spreading the gospel of Jesus. This was the heart of Paul's message to them. The church in Rome was very important because it had some characteristics that other churches didn't. It was a lay church. It didn't have a spiritual working by an apostle, by a personal visit, or a creation by an apostle. It was created within itself. It was a Gentile church, and they made up most of the membership. It was a persecuted church. Emperor Nero burned Rome and then blamed the Christians and started a persecution. After Nero, the church became triumphant. They remained faithful and servant to the Lord, transforming into a strong presence in the world for the kingdom. What a transformation this church made with the power of Christ. But today, we're going to look at it for what it applies today, for what it applies for us, and what Paul is trying to tell, not only the folks in Rome, but that we can learn from his letter. Now, I was in Kansas a couple of weeks ago, and let me tell you, there's nothing in Kansas. Nothing in Kansas. But straight roads and 90-degree angles in farmland. Beautiful farmland, but nothing in Kansas. I had the privilege of listening to some of my colleagues who were graduating with their master's degree present their final projects. You know, mine was on the church at center here. And one guy named Joey Spiegel titled his project, and it's pretty wordy, An Examination of Peacefulness in the Life of a Participant Receiving Spiritual Direction. In other words, he was studying someone who was spiritually challenged. And he was studying the measure of peace in their life upon receiving spiritual counseling. One thing he said when he spoke to us, it was one sentence that I couldn't get out of my mind, and it said, "You can't be transforming unless you have been transformed. You can't be transforming unless you have been transformed." Now, what my mind wasn't completely gone at that moment. It took me a minute to kind of let that sink in. But what a simple way to explain our faith. Transformation, that transforming spirit in us. So what do you think you're here for? What's our purpose? If you go to any large corporation or any school, many times you'll find strategic goals, a vision, a mission statement. Those things outline what the place sets as its purpose and its end game. There have been situations in my life where I've asked, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What do you want me to do? Just tell me. His call to the ministry for me was just that. Except I kept ignoring him. What do you want me to do? Those are hard questions to ask, and even harder questions to get the answer to. For those finishing high school, guidance counselors spend large amounts of time asking the students, what are your plans after graduation? Your senior year's here, what are you going to do? 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 Many choose college immediately after high school. Many choose career and go into the workforce. Some choose both at the same time. So many things, so fast. Where did the time go? I don't know what I want to do. The college graduate is looking to start a career. Now, time and money are important, and choosing a fulfilling job becomes the end game. Questions like those are being asked, but not only those who are entering high school or college, but at some point in your life, you may have asked those questions even after high school, college, or career, in retirement. Now what? But each situation is different. But if we peel back all that stuff, all those choices, all those different directions and those decisions, we relieve the pressure of it all, we're all on the same common ground. We end up on the same field, at the same level, regardless of what the paper says across the stage. No matter how smart we think we are, as Christians, wherever we are in our life, we can be transforming in the lives of others around us through the love of Jesus in ourselves. But then the question comes, okay, now I know what, how? How do I do that? I've got my college degree, how do I do that? They didn't tell us that. We can derive our mission and our vision from what Paul tells us. And he tells us in verse 1 and 2, be a living sacrifice. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, doing God's will. Instead of leaving it to the church to figure out how we do what he says we need to do in verses 1 and 2, he gave them instructions, and it's still valid for us. Now, instead of trying to remember all those different verses, those different do nots and do's and shoulds and shouldn'ts, I kind of came up with three different statements that kind of broke these passages down. And the first one is owning your faith, O-W-N-I-N-G. Owning, as I would say, your faith. That is number one. As we continue into our next journey, as we walk out of these doors, own Jesus. Own the Bible. Own God. Think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has given you. Not with what you've earned yourself. Not with what an instructor gave you or a president of a college, but what God gave you. We have different functions but we are one body. In our faith, we're giving spiritual gifts. When we embrace them, we use them. In many discussions about youth in church, I've heard others say that that time after high school and while in college is that crucial moment that faith kind of up and down, because now they're free to come and go as they please. Faith can be tested outside of the doors of the church. But it's through our spiritual gifts where we preach and we serve and we give and we teach and we love that our faith is being owned. Be proud of your God. Be proud to say the name Jesus in times of adversity and publicly. Be proud to pray. Temptation surrounds us daily, but if we own our faith, nothing can take us from Him. No matter who you are, where you end up in your physical life, owning your faith lets no one keep you quiet. The next thing is own your relationships. Our entire lives are built on relationships. We have relationships with everyone we come in contact with, even if it is just a look in the eye. I have a relationship with the lady at Biscuitville. It consists of, "Good morning, Mr. Schluter," because my name's on my shirt. "Will you be having the usual?" "Well, yes, I will, thank you." That's a great relationship, let me just tell you. Sausage biscuit with a pack of mustard. But all jokes aside, Paul tells us in 9 through 16, all those different things. He tells us to love sincerely, hate evil, cling to good, be devoted to one another, honor each other above yourself, have joy and hope, here's the hard one, patience and affliction, and be faithful in prayer. Share with others who are in need. Be hospitable. Bless the persecutor, because if you're a Christian, you're going to be persecuted in one way or another. Rejoice with others. Celebrate with them when they're celebrating, but cry with them when they're crying. Share the burden. Live in harmony. Don't be a snob. And associate with people of low position. You're not better than them. We're not better than anybody else. We are equals because we're all on the same ground. What simple statements that allow us to own our relationships. Each one of those things deal with interactions with others. Jesus told his disciples in John 13, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Loving like Jesus. Every one of Paul's requests is that of the way Jesus lived. As hard as it can be, love those who do not love you back. Pray with those who do not pray, because you will be amazed at the transformation you may be able to see. The third and final thing, own your decisions and your actions. Own your decisions and your actions. This is probably the hardest one. Oh, I love Jesus, and I love my neighbor, but I'm not owning the mistake I made. Unfortunately, we have to answer for our decisions and our actions. Just this past week, and I was kind of fired up when I got home from work, I was interviewing a guy who wanted sponsorship from rookie school. Like, he couldn't get in rookie school without me signing this form. And so I interviewed him. He had 3 speeding tickets. No big deal. Justin's not here, so it's no big deal. But I asked him, I said, "Tell me about these tickets. Just wanted to see what he'd say." He said, "Well, I don't really remember them." I remember all the 57 times I've been pulled over. But, just kidding. But I do remember them. I remember the tickets I've received. But he couldn't remember. And I said, "Why can't you? What do you mean you can't remember?" This guy's 24. He couldn't remember his ticket. 3 tickets he got. I said, "Well, tell me what, you know, where it was." "Well, I don't really remember. I think that was coming home from somewhere." I said, "Well, did you call a lawyer? How'd that happen?" He said, "I just gave them to my dad and he made them go away." Now that made me mad. I quickly asked him if I hired him, Was his dad going to make the arrest for him? Was he going to fill out his reports, drive him around, take him to his calls, wear his badge and his gun for him? And he just kind of looked at me. No, I've learned from my mistakes. How does that look to others? A second question, without raising your hand, who here allows their anger or their disgust to get the best of them and they act before thinking? How many open their mouth before the Spirit has time to stop you? I think we all have done that at least once. You see, we have to own all of our actions, good or bad. And part of owning them is understanding how to make solid decisions in response to opposition, because not everyone's going to agree with us. Lucky for us, Paul gives us Jesus' leading. He's quick to advise against revenge. We tend to make decisions based on immediate emotion. In other words, we act on anger with what the world wants from us. Let me put this up on the television so I can get everybody fired up about it immediately. But Paul says, that's what everyone's looking for us to do. But we need to provide for our enemies. Strive not to be taken over by evil, because every decision we make has an effect somewhere. It transforms someone, somewhere, somehow. Now, whether we're moving from kindergarten, eighth grade, high school, or college, or maybe we're just living our lives as adults, we own each decision and everything we do. Those who are not Christians are watching, waiting to call you out. We should seek God's direction for our lives. In the face of evil, decide to respond like Christ, loving sincerely. As hard as it is, your response can transform those who oppose you, because it allows the Holy Spirit to work through you, heaping burning coals on their heads. Now, putting all this together, when I read that list of graduations with the parent's perspective and the child's, there was a transformation in progress. As we grow in our walk with Christ, there's also a transformation in progress. You can't be transforming unless you've been transformed. Isn't that the answer? What are we doing here? We're to be transformed in our life in Christ through owning our faith, owning our relationships, and owning our decisions and actions. Only then can we be transformed to help others. We become living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. Before you leave here today, I want you to consider your transformation. Do you completely own your faith? Do you own your relationships? And do you own your decisions and actions? Because you cannot be successful with the last two until you're successful with the first one. If you aren't sure about your relationship with Christ, or you want to start that transformation, come see me after worship. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to sit with you privately and help you begin that transformation. Having that personal salvation is the key to unlocking a new life, a brighter light, and experiencing God's peace in your life. Then you can become that transforming force in someone else's. Will you answer that call? Owning your faith, owning your relationships, and owning your decisions and actions. I leave you with this question. Are you transformed in the name of Jesus so that you can be transforming to those who aren't? closing hymn will be hymn 544, The Bond of Love. You'll stand and sing. Wonderful gathering of believers, Lord. Help us go out and spread your presence among all the world. Lord, bless the graduates, those who are moving forward in the journey. Guide them, lead them, protect them, place your hand of grace and peace upon them, Lord. Be with each one here today and bring us safely back next week so we can worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.